William Miller, guide his mind and open his understanding. God sent his angel to move upon the heart of a farmer who had not believed the Bible, to lead him to search the prophecies. Angels of God repeatedly visited that chosen one, to guide his mind and open to his understanding prophecies which had ever been dark to God's people. Early Writings 2:29. Accompanied. Angels of God accompanied William Miller in his mission. He was firm and undaunted, fearlessly proclaiming the message committed to his trust. Early Writings 2:32. The message from heaven. Ministers who would not accept this saving message themselves hindered those who would have received it. The blood of souls is upon them. Preachers and people joined to oppose this message from heaven and to persecute William Miller and those who united with him in the work. Falsehoods were circulated to injure his influence. And at different times after he had plainly declared the counsel of God, applying cutting truths to the hearts of his hearers, great rage was kindled against him. And as he left the place of meeting, some waylaid him in order to take his life. But angels of God were sent to protect him, and they led him safely away from the angry mob. His work was not yet finished. Early Writings 2:35. The messenger himself, the instigator of all evil, sought not only to counteract the effect of the Advent message, but to destroy the messenger himself. Miller made a practical application of scripture truth to the hearts of his hearers, reproving their sins and disturbing their self-satisfaction, and his plain and cutting words aroused their enmity. The opposition manifested by church members toward his message emboldened the baser classes to go to greater lengths, and enemies plotted to take his life as he should leave the place of meeting. But holy angels were in the throng, and one of these, in the form of a man, took the arm of this servant of the Lord and led him in safety from the angry mob. His work was not yet done, and Satan and his emissaries were disappointed in their purpose. The Great Controversy, 336. Rules of Interpretation by William Miller. In studying the Bible, I have found the following rules to be of great service to myself, and now give them to the public by special request. Every rule should be well studied in connection with the scripture references, if the Bible student would be at all benefited by them. Rule 1. Every word must have its proper bearing on the subject presented in the Bible. Proof. Matthew 5:18. Rule 2. All scripture is necessary and may be understood by a diligent application and study. Proof. 2 Timothy 3:15-17. Rule 3. Nothing revealed in the scripture can or will be hid from those who ask in faith, not wavering. Proof. Deuteronomy 29:29, Matthew 10:26-27, 1 Corinthians 2:10, Philippians 3:15, Isaiah 14:11, Matthew 21:22, John 14:13-4, 15:7, James 1:5-6, 1 John 5:13-15. Rule 4. To understand doctrine, bring all the scriptures together on the subject you wish to know, then let every word have its proper influence, and if you can form your theory without a contradiction, you cannot be in an error. Proof. Isaiah 28:7-29, 35:8, Proverbs 19:27, Luke 24:27-44-45, Romans 16:26, James 5:19, 2 Peter 1:19-29. Rule fee. Scripture must be its own expositor, since it is a rule of itself. If I depend on a teacher to expound it to me, and he should guess at its meaning, or desire to have it so on account of his sectarian creed, or to be thought wise, then his guessing, desire, creed, or wisdom is my rule, not the Bible. Proof. Psalm 19:7-11, 197-105, Matthew 23:8-10, 1 Corinthians 2:12-16, Ezekiel 34:18-19, Luke 11:52, Malachi 2:7-8. Rule 6. God has revealed things to come by visions in figures and parables, and in this way the same things are often time revealed again and again by different visions or in different figures and parables. If you wish to understand them, you must combine them all in one. Proof. Psalm 89:19, Hosea 12:10, Habakkuk 2, Acts 2:17, 1 Corinthians 5:6, Hebrews 9:9-24, Psalm 78:2, Matthew 13:13-34, Genesis 41:3, Daniel 2:7-8, Acts 10:9-16. Rule 7. Visions are always mentioned as such. Proof. 2 Corinthians 12:1. Rule 8. Figures always have a figurative meaning and are used much in prophecy to represent future things, times, and events, such as mountains meaning governments, beasts meaning kingdoms, waters meaning people, lamp meaning word of God, day meaning year. Proof: Daniel 2:35-44, 7:8-17, Revelation 17:1-15, Psalm 119:105, Ezekiel 4:6. Rule 9. Parables are used as companions to illustrate subjects and must be explained in the same way as figures by the subject in Bible. Mark 4:13. See also the explanation of the 10 virgins, Miller's Lectures, number 16. Rule X. Figures sometimes have two or more different significations, as day is used in a figurative sense to represent three different periods of time. Proof: Ecclesiastes 7:14. Indefinite, definite, a day for a year, day for a thousand years. If you put on the right construction, it will harmonize with the Bible and make good sense. Otherwise, it will not. Proof: Ezekiel 4:6, 2 Peter 3:8. Rule Live: How to know when a word is used figuratively. If it makes good sense as it stands and does no violence to the simple laws of nature, then it must be understood literally, if not figuratively. Proof: Revelation 12:1-2, 17:3-7. Rule 12. To learn the true meaning of figures, trace your figurative word through your Bible, and where you find it explained, put it on your figure, and if it makes good sense, you need look no further. If not, look again. Rule 13. To know whether we have the true historical event for the fulfillment of a prophecy. If you find every word of the prophecy, after the figures are understood, is literally fulfilled, then you may know that your history is the true event. But if one word lacks a fulfillment, then you must look for another event or wait its future development. For God takes care that history and prophecy doth agree, so that the true believing children of God may never be ashamed. Proof: Psalm 22:5, Isaiah 14:7-19, 1 Peter 2:6, Revelation 17:17, Acts 3:18. Rule 14. The most important rule of all is that you must have faith. It must be a faith that requires a sacrifice, and if tried, would give up the dearest object on earth, the world and all its desires, character, living, occupation, friends, horns, comforts, and worldly honors. If any of these should hinder our believing any part of God's word, it would show our faith to be vain. Nor can we ever believe so long as one of these motives lies lurking in our hearts. We must believe that God will never forfeit his word, and we can have confidence that he that takes notice of the sparrow and numbers the hairs of our head will guard the translation of his own word and throw a barrier around it and prevent those who sincerely trust in God and put implicit confidence in his word from erring far from the truth, though they may not understand Hebrew or Greek. These are some of the most important rules which I find the word of God warrants me to adopt and follow in order for system and regularity. And if I am not greatly deceived, in so doing, I have found the Bible, as a whole, one of the most simple, plain, and intelligible books ever written, containing proof in itself of its divine origin, and full of all knowledge that our hearts could wish to know or enjoy. I have found it a treasure which the world cannot purchase. It gives a calm peace in believing and a firm hope in the future. It sustains the mind in adversity and teaches us to be humble in prosperity. It prepares us to love and do good to others, and to realize the value of the soul. It makes us bold and valiant for the truth, and nerves the arm to oppose error. It gives us a powerful weapon to break down infidelity, and makes known the only antidote for sin. It instructs us how death will be conquered, and how the bonds of the tomb must be broken. It tells us of future events, and shows the preparation necessary to meet them. It gives us an opportunity to hold conversation with the King of Kings and reveals the best code of laws ever enacted. This is but a faint view of its value, yet how many perishing souls treat it with neglect, or, what is equally as bad, treat it as a hidden mystery which cannot be known. Oh, my dear reader, make it your chief study. Try it well, and you will find it to be all I have said. Yes, like the Queen of Sheba, you will say the half was not told you. The divinity taught in our schools is always founded on some sectarian creed. It may do to take a blank mind and impress it with this kind, but it will always end in bigotry. A free mind will never be satisfied with the views of others. Were I a teacher of youth in divinity, I would first learn their capacity and mind. If these were good, I would make them study the Bible for themselves and send them out free to do the world good. But if they had no mind, I would stamp them with another's mind, write bigot on their forehead, and send them out as slaves. From Miller's Works. Volume 1, Views of the Prophecies and Prophetic Chronology, selected from manuscripts of William Miller, with a memoir of his life, edited by Joshua V. Himes, 1842, pages 20-24. The same plan. We should know for ourselves what constitutes Christianity, what is truth, what is the faith that we have received, what are the Bible rules, the rules given us from the highest authority. The 1888 Materials, 4-3. Those who are engaged in proclaiming the third angel's message are searching the scriptures upon the same plan that Father Miller adopted. In the little book entitled Views of the Prophecies and Prophetic Chronology, Father Miller gives the following simple but intelligent and important rules for Bible study and interpretation. 1. Every word must have its proper bearing on the subject presented in the Bible. 2. All scripture is necessary and may be understood by diligent application and study. 3. Nothing revealed in scripture can or will be hid from those who ask in faith, not wavering. 4. To understand doctrine, bring all the scriptures together on the subject you wish to know. Then let every word have its proper influence. And if you can form your theory without a contradiction, you cannot be in error. 5. Scripture must be its own expositor, since it is a rule of itself. If I depend on a teacher to expound to me, and he should guess at its meaning, or desire to have it so on account of his sectarian creed, or to be thought wise, then his guessing, desire, creed, or wisdom is my rule and not the Bible. The above is a portion of these rules, and in our study of the Bible, we shall all do well to heed the principles set forth. Review and Herald, November 25, 1884.